This is Mrs. Hendershot reading Chapter 3, Trouble with Tilly. Mona followed Gillies away from the party and back into the lobby to a candlelit staircase near the stone fireplace. She could see that it went up and down many floors. "Come, come," the lizard gestured to her. "Tilly will be in the kitchen." The lizard led her down to the floor below and along to the end of a hallway. Gillies pushed open a swinging door to reveal a room smaller than either the lobby or the ballroom, but still bigger than any of Mona's old homes. The kitchen was filled with even more delicious smells than the ballroom. Baskets of nuts and berries hung from roots on the ceiling over a long table that was cluttered with pots and bowls, spoons, and serving trays. Cupboards were dug into the dirt walls, some were open, showing stacked dishes and jars of dried seeds and herbs of all kinds. A sink, made of a large shell, was filled with dirty pots and pans. There was a fireplace in the corner, and over it hung a pot bubbling with acorn mash. A plump porcupine was stirring the mash with a particularly long quill. She wasn't alone. A red furred squirrel with a very bushy tail sat at the table, nibbling at the giant puffy cake. "Don't poke your paws into everything, Tilly dear," chided the porcupine. "There's got to be enough for Mr. Heartwood. You know how hungry he gets after a party." "Yes, Miss Prickles," the squirrel reluctantly pushed the dish away. "But after the party, that's when I have to clean up. I don't get a chance to eat anything." "I'll set some seed cakes aside for you, dear." "I like acorn souffle better," muttered the squirrel, just loud enough to be heard. "Souffle? That must be the name for the puffy cake," thought Mona. "It's for the guest. You know that," replied the porcupine, turning around and shaking her stirring quill at the squirrel, only to catch sight of Gillies and Mona. "What's this, Gillies? Who have you brought us? Not a guest, surely." "Of course not," replied Gillies, as though offended by the suggestion. "She's a new maid, Mona." "Mona, this is Miss Prickles, our cook." "Hello, dearie," said the porcupine. "And this," continued Gillies, gesturing to the squirrel, "is Tilly." Mona stuck out her paw, but Tilly didn't take it. Her tail bristled instead. "New maid?" "Just for the night," continued Gillies. "She'll help you clean up after the party. In any case, they're Mr. Heartwood's orders, not mine. He wants you to help her find the brushes and an apron." "A mouse? Help? Mice are too small to be maids." Tilly's tail bristled up even more, bigger than her body. "And she can't help anyone clean anything. Why, she's just tracking in more mud." "Your problem, not mine," said Gillies, heading out of the kitchen. But not before the porcupine said, "If you're going back upstairs, you might as well bring up the souffle before Tilly eats it all." "I'm the front desk lizard. It's not my job to serve the food," grumped Gillies. But he took the souffle anyway, and with that, disappeared. Tilly didn't even protest the departure of her favorite dish. She was still glaring at Mona with such ferocity that Mona couldn't help but tremble. Mona looked down. Her paws were still very dirty. "It was the storm," she muttered. "Oh, dear, dear, you poor thing," gushed Miss Prickles. "Now, where is a nice rag?" The porcupine opened a cupboard under the sink and rummaged through it. She pulled out a rag that looked like it was made of soft bark. She handed it to Mona, who quickly rubbed her paws and even her tail. "There, that's better, isn't it, dearie? Mona, right?" Mona nodded, handing back the towel. "Such a sweet name for such a sweet little thing. You know, I think I've still got a bit of my cheese crumble left. Would you like a nibble? It's a favorite with our mice guest." At this, Tilly broke in. "No time for eating. The party will be over soon, and now I have more work to do showing her around." "Oh, Tilly, hush, tush," said Miss Prickles. "Show a little sympathy. I think you would, considering." Tilly went completely silent. There was a long pause, but Miss Prickles didn't say anything else, except for, "Oh, Tilly, it's been a long day for all of us, hasn't it?" "Yes, Miss Prickles," said Tilly finally. Miss Prickles turned to Mona and explained, "Miss Higgins, our housekeeper, is sick with the cold, and it's meant double the work. And with the party going on, well, it's not easy to keep a hotel this size running, that's for certain." I can usually do it by myself just fine, except for this feast, replied Tilly with a humph. Then she looked at Mona again and sighed. Well, we better get you an apron. You can have the crumble later, dearie, Miss Prickles said to Mona, as Mona once again was led away. After dropping off her suitcase in Tilly's room, I guess you'll have to share with me, she said. They passed more rooms and hallways and at last reached the storage room where Tilly dug out a broom, dustpan, and apron. The apron was much too big, so Mona wrapped the strings around her waist several times before tying them. It was so long, she hoped she wouldn't trip on it. Do I need a key? Asked Mona, pointing to the one that Tilly wore around her neck. After all, Gillies had been wearing one too, and Mr. Hartwood had lots. Pah, said Tilly, replied Tilly. You're only working the night. Keys are for proper staff like me. You'll just be cleaning the ballroom. Just the ballroom, indeed. With only a few guests left, nibbling the last of the buffet, the ballroom was far larger than it had seemed before, and far messier. Crumbs of seed cakes and bits of mushrooms and acorns dotted the knotted wood floor. Mona had to sweep up all the crumbs with a broom, a dried dandelion turned upside down. Like an apron, it was too big for her, but she held the handle down low. She dumped the crumbs into a bucket, even though she was so hungry she wanted to eat them. And there was honey everywhere. Tilly gave her a rag and a nutshell of soapy water, but the honey was very hard to scrub off. It was a long night, especially since nothing Mona did seemed to be good enough for Tilly. Still sticky, she'd say in between doing her own tasks, and she'd make Mona return to the spot and scrub some more. Through it all, the storm raged, the wind rattling the shutters of the ballroom. Mona was grateful to be inside and warm despite the hard work. Hard work, but how full of marvels. The bright clusters of elderberries that Tilly took down from the ceiling. The instruments on stage made of reeds and seed pods that pinged and tinged when Tilly moved them. The woven willow strap slippers left behind by a guest. And best of all, the sunshiny yellow leaves that Mona helped Tilly arrange in acorn vases on the table to greet the guests in the morning. The night ended with a bite of cheese crumble, too. So, when Mona lay down in Tilly's room on the spare bed of feathers, the most comfortable bed she'd ever had, Tilly's loud snores didn't bother her. Tilly sounded grumpy even while sleeping. Mona wasn't grumpy, though. When at last the little mouse fell asleep, her dreams were filled not with fears of the forest, but with wonders of the Hartwood Hotel.